Steve. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And we'll pick up where we left off last week. Remember, this is Jesus' high priestly prayer, often called. One of the longest prayers that we find. And as I mentioned last week, I think it's very telling what Jesus prayed for and what he didn't pray for. He didn't pray that, Lord, my disciples, make it easy for them. He didn't do that. What he prayed for was that God would protect his disciples, those followers that followed after him, so that they could accomplish what he had for them to do. And so he prayed for his disciples, and he prays for all believers. And that's what we want to look at this morning, because I think that Jesus has a plan for all of us. I hope you realize that and that you understand that, that God has a plan for your life. He has things for you to do in your life. And here's the thing, I want us to know that though you're one, you are not alone. And God does not intend for you to live the Christian life alone. In fact, I want to tell you, it's impossible for you to live the Christian life alone. You need other believers, and other believers need you. And that's why church is so important. Can a person be saved and not go to church? Yeah, they can. But that person that's saved is not going to be all that God wants them to be if they're not a part of a local church. God has designed us to need one another. And God wants to use us, but he uses us best when we work together. And so we're going to pick up in John chapter 17, beginning in verse 20, where Jesus continues his prayer with these words. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. They also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given to me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may also be in them, and I in them. So this great, wonderful prayer that Jesus offers tells us an awful lot. And one thing that he wants to remind us of is that we're all part of the body of believers. And that I'm thankful for our church, but our church was started 50 years ago by some faithful men and women that met together and prayed and believed that God wanted a church here in this area of Pearl, Mississippi. And I'm thankful for that. I hope you're thankful for that. And we work and on their shoulders and on their work. But we trace the work of God all the way back here to these first disciples. You see, it didn't end with the disciples, the apostles. It continued. And it expands and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so God's desire is that he takes people from very different backgrounds and makes them one. Now, that does not mean that we're all uniform, that we all, dress the same and talk the same and, believe the same, but we're united together as one. Not because we just decided that it was going to be that way because Christ has put us together. And remember, back in chapter 14, he told his disciples, listen, don't be afraid. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. We talked about heaven then, and I reminded us, and I'll remind us again, you know, God's people encompass all believers, including those that might believe differently than Free Will Baptists do. That there will be some, maybe Pentecostals and some Methodists and some Catholics and some Presbyterians maybe even, there in heaven. And it won't depend on skin color because there'll be white people and black people and yellow people and maybe even some green people, I don't know. But everyone that trusts and believes in the name of Jesus belongs to the family of God. And we are all part of that. And Jesus says, listen, my prayer, Lord, is that people will see my family and how they love each other and how they behave, and they will glorify you. In other words, people will get saved. They'll come to know God because they know God's people. And so three important things about this as we look at these last seven verses of this chapter and about being one. Can we be one? And so I want us to talk about that oneness this morning. So I want us to understand there's one mission that God has sent us on together. The power of the church is that the church is called to be about the same thing. Whether they have a Free Will Baptist label or Southern Baptist label or Cooperative, there's 300, I think, different kinds of Baptists. Or Methodists, or, you know, and we all have our little differences of beliefs. Jesus is going to straighten it out one day. But in the grand scheme of things, remember this, that the Christian church agrees on a whole lot more than they disagree on. There are some things I've mentioned before. I have a friend I went to high school and junior high with who's a Catholic priest. We're still friends. We talk every once in a while, not as often as we would like, but he's leading a church. Just like I am, and I count him as a friend. He counts me as a friend. I hope you know that we disagree on some things. But we agree on what the most important thing is, and that's Jesus. And if someone names the name of Jesus, they're part of our family. And so we're on the first thing that we see, there's one mission together. That the Christian church is called to accomplish one thing, and this one thing is helping others find God. It's not about building a big church. It's not about having the hottest programs in town. It's not about being flashy. It's about knowing God and making Him known. So I think every local church has an expression of how they see that. And I think there's different ways that churches can express that. This is how our church has chosen to express it. It's in the bulletin every week. We talked about it several times. I hope it's not the first time you've heard of it or seen it. Let me read it to you. It says, First Free Will Baptist Church exists to passionately love God and each other, to urgently pursue the lost with the gospel, to fervently equip the saints for service, and intentionally deploy disciples into the harvest. Now, other churches may express it differently. Now, we understand that other churches are not our competition. Other churches are our family. And listen, I'm going to tell you that, I think if people are looking for a good, loving church in Pearl, Mississippi, this is a good one. First Free Will Baptist Church. It's a fine church. But I also am not afraid to tell you that there are some other good churches. Now, there's probably a bad one or two in town. I'm not going to tell you which ones they are, but there are probably a couple that are not so great. But there's plenty that are really good churches, and they're led by really good pastors. And we need to understand that they are not our competition, but they're family. And so in just a couple weeks on whatever the Wednesday, the week before Thanksgiving is, the 16th or something along those lines, we'll meet at Pearl Presbyterian Church at 6:30, by the way. I think I put it in the bulletin. I may not have, though. 6:30 at Pearl Pres. And churches from the community are going to come together. And it's a wonderful service every year. There's several hundred people that gather together. There'll be Presbyterians and Methodists and Baptists and some others. The junior high choir from Pearl Middle School, or junior high, whichever it is, I can never remember, will be there and will sing for us. It's a time when our community comes together and thanks God for the blessings that He has given us. And guess what? That is a powerful testimony to those that are not part of the body of Christ. Maybe there is something to this Jesus thing. You look at our politicians. You look at the marketplace. Listen, there's division in our world. The one place there should not be division is in the church. Now, that doesn't mean that we agree 100%. We don't. Even the Presbyterian brother that passed away, he is a good man. Joey is a good man and a good preacher. Him and I have some different ideas, especially about salvation and how that works and who exactly Jesus died for. We have very different views on that. But I'll stand there, and even though he's not here today, even if he was here today, I would say the same thing. I count Joey as a brother in Christ. And he says the same about me, I hope. I think he would. Because we, as God's people, are to be one. And Jesus prays, he says, listen, as you be with my disciples that come after me, even those that, by the preaching of your word. And by the way, that's how people come to salvation. It's not by flashy programs. It's not by programs at all. It's by hearing God's word and being convicted by it. That's how somebody comes to saving faith in Christ. And because they see it. They save people who are very different. So at this Presbyterian church, they'll have all these different denominations gathered together. There'll be Republicans and Democrats and Independents. And libertarians and every other political persuasion gathered in that room praising Jesus. And friends, that's how it's supposed to be. There shouldn't be a litmus test for the admission into God's kingdom. Say, well, how much money do you have? What kind of clothes do you wear? How long is your hair? What language do you speak? None of those things matter in the kingdom of God. And they shouldn't matter in the church either. You see, the church, we see a lot of division in our world. What we don't see enough of is togetherness. So there's one mission. And as we have that one mission, drawing people to God, as our mission statement expresses, we're going to, you know, love God and love each other. We're going to tell the lost about Jesus, and we're going to invite them to make a decision to follow Him. And then, I don't know about you, but I understand that Jesus doesn't just get us saved and then leave us. Salvation is not all there is to the Christian story and our Christian life. Salvation is just the start of it. And then we go through the rest of our life growing and maturing, hopefully, in our faith, becoming more and more like Jesus. And then what happens as we mature in our faith? A natural reaction of maturing in faith is helping disciple others, bringing the younger believers along and helping them in their faith. And so there's one focus, and then secondly, one mission is the second thing. The focus that we're to focus on is not who's got the flashy lights, who's got the hippest jeans, who's got the, whatever. Jesus says the focus should be on me. Jesus said the way people are going to come to know you is by my people telling them and loving each other and being different. So the focus is not even growing our church, although we want our church to grow. And we want to reach people. We're thankful that we've got young people and we've got old people in our church, because that's what family is. Family is just not one age group, is it? If it is, your family's in big trouble. Family, thankfully, has some young people and then some really, really young people. But it also has older folks. And I tell you that the church needs all those groups together. How sad it is that so many young people don't have older Christian examples to follow after. And they don't have older Christians investing in their lives. How sad that older people don't have younger people to keep them young. So we need each other. And the focus on us is not, listen, let's make my name great, let's not make this church great, although that certainly is our desire, is that our church would grow. But our focus is on God and making much of Him. Listen, God's not as concerned about how many people are gathering in pews as He is how many lives are being changed and how many people are worshiping Him. And so our focus is not on ourselves. Our focus is on God. And here's the thing, though, if our focus is on God, God's going to tell us, all right, your focus is on me. I want you to go to those hurting folks that don't know me. I want you to go to those single moms that are struggling to raise six kids from four different dads. I want you to go and help that Hispanic refugee that's come into our country. I want you to help that person that's just got out of prison. Because when our focus is on God, we will begin to see other people like God sees them. And God does not see them as something strange to be avoided. He sees them with eyes of compassion. And He sees them with eyes of desire for them to come to know Him. Well, just like somebody had to tell you about Jesus, you probably did not stumble upon Jesus by yourself. You didn't just wake up one morning and say, oh, I think I'm going to believe in Jesus today. There was a family member, there was a friend, there was a neighbor, there was a coworker, there was someone in your life that planted some gospel seeds and told you about Jesus. Maybe it was mom that carried you in a baby carriage to church, before you even could walk, and they brought you to church. But somehow, somewhere along the line, somebody told you about Jesus. And friends, we need to understand that just like we didn't stumble on Him by ourselves, There are many people all around us that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Even in Pearl, Mississippi, in the buckle of the Bible Belt, there are thousands of people in Rankin County that are lost and going to hell. Not because they don't go to church anywhere. And there's plenty of churches in Rankin County. They're not one of them that's busting at the seams that doesn't have room for more people. But it's not just getting in a church that's going to save anybody. The only thing that can save anybody is Jesus Christ himself. But our focus has to be on God and seeing others as God sees them. Because as long as we see them as a danger or something to be avoided or an inconvenience, I assure you we won't reach them with the gospel. But when we meet them where they're at and we love on them and we tell them about Jesus, some of them will come to find him. Not because they just stumbled upon him, but because they stumbled upon someone from this church that loved them and then told them about Jesus. So our focus is not on us, but it's on God and then on others. And then lastly, I want to remind us that not only is there one mission and one focus, but there's one message. And it's the same message that Jesus preached and that the apostles preached in the book of Acts and that Paul preached as he planted churches and as missionaries and church planters and pastors have been preaching for centuries. It's the message that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That was near the beginning of the story of Jesus, John 3:16. And here we're at John 17. And we find Jesus knowing in the next chapter, in the next blink of an eye, he's going to be betrayed by one of his own. And then even deny, you know, one of his own is going to deny even knowing him. He knows that, and yet he prays this prayer for them, including Peter. Peter was in Jesus' prayer in John 17. The message is simply this, that God so loved the world. Not just that God so loved white people or Asian people or whatever other nationality of people. And not just that God loved rich folks or poor folks. Jesus loves us despite how much money we have or don't have, what our skin color is, who our parents are, what side of the track we lived up on, grew up on. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is that we know Jesus. And so Jesus says, you know what, Father, I want them to be together as you and I are one. God uses, and you know, great things can happen when churches come together. And by the way, Satan knows that, and so he does everything he can to stir up trouble in churches. And unfortunately, oftentimes it's way too easy for him to stir up that trouble in churches. And most of the time, the trouble of the church splits are not over doctrine. It's not over things that even matter. It's usually over stupid stuff, like the color of carpet, or the color of paint, or the Bible translation that we use, or whether we have instruments or whether we don't. We can have ideas and preferences about those things, but ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, none of those things really matter. But what does matter is if somebody knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I tell you that people, if they walk in off the street and come into this church, they don't know any of us. When they walk into this church, they know that they matter and that they're welcome here. And they see that we generally love one another. We talk to one another. We shake hands. Can I tell you, Leslie and I have been to some churches ago. When we're on vacation, when we're out of town and we're not here, we're in church somewhere. And we've been to some churches that aren't quite that way. And it's very evident that there was some kind of strife in church, because as soon as the preacher said amen, they boomed out the door. In the church, the only person that spoke to us the entire 2 hours we were there was the pastor of the church. And it wasn't a large church like our church. If you see somebody in church that you don't know, they're a visitor. Or they haven't been around in a long, long time. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean we don't point them out. We don't. But you should be kind to them and speak to them. And I hope you do that. And I know that most of we do. Because we want people to feel welcome. We want them to know that we love them. Well, but this is the thing. It doesn't really matter if we love them. We do want them to know we love them. But what we really want them to know is that God loves them. But you know what? They can't see God. But they can see you. And so Jesus says, Lord, I want my believers, those that follow me, my children that you've given me, I want them to be one just like you and I are one. How close is the Father and the Son? They're like that. They're sandwiched. There's no division. There's no space in between them. And I think that's God's intention for the church. And we need that because, listen, you may not be the one struggling this week, but your week might be next week. And that's why we need one another. Because there are times when we are going through rough patches, where we're going through great sadness and difficulty, and we simply need the help of someone else. And you may be that someone else. It may be next week, though, you're the weak one that needs the help of someone. So Jesus prays, Father, my desire is also that they would be with me. What's he talking about? He says, I want them to spend eternity with me. This world, as rough and but also as good as it is only temporary. And as Peter says, we're pilgrims passing through. And so the message that we must be declaring is not that, hey, listen, if you want God, you've got to get yourself cleaned up first, or you've got to meet these conditions, or you've got to be this way or that way. No, the message is simply come to Jesus and he'll receive you just like you are, but he will not leave you like he found you. Friend, understand this, that if you can sit in church for 20 years and be the same as you were when you first stepped into that church, you really have not been encountering God. You maybe have sung some songs and you've heard some sermons, but you really have not encountered God. You've not really had a relationship with God. Because if you have a relationship with God, you're constantly being changed into his image. And so the churches of Pearl, it doesn't matter if it's you know, a church that has service at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, or maybe these, you know, crazy newfangled folks, church meeting Saturday nights, or some other time. No, some that meet on Sunday afternoons. Thing is, it doesn't matter what time of day that you meet. It matters, though, who you worship when you do meet. And if a church worships their pastor or their denomination or their preferences or their traditions, they're in trouble. For the church is to be worshiping God and God alone. And the message is not to be, hey, listen, we're the greatest. The message is, He is the great I am, and we want to point you to Him. Let's pray again. Lord, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness and Your love to us. Thank You for the gospel truth, that You will receive us just like You found us. And Lord, our prayer is that You would help our church to be one, just as Jesus prayed here in these last verses that we read this morning. May we be united in mission and values. Lord, may we be united together as a family of God. May this be a place where someone can walk in and know that God loves them because we do. God, would You forgive us for when we fail to do that? Lord, our sincere desire is that we would be Your hands and feet. We want to know You and know You more. God, our prayer is You'd move us, use us for Your glory. Not for ours, and not even for this church's glory, but for Your glory. Lord, You're able to accomplish great things when our eyes are on You and when we're working together in Your strength. Lord, help us to do that. If there's one here that doesn't know You, they've never begun that journey of new life, would You help them today to call out to You to receive that free gift, simply to acknowledge their sin and their need for a Savior, call out to You to receive a gift that You've already paid for them. Maybe there's one of Your children here today, Lord, they're saved, they've made a decision for You, but Lord, they've not really been walking that. They've not been having this one message and sharing the one faith. They've been wanting to do their own thing. And Lord, You remind us that that doesn't work. You help them today to surrender to You. Have Your way and Your will in our life, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Again, I'm thankful for our great church. I'm thankful for each of you. And thank you for the gifts that you gave us last week, for pastor appreciation, for your kind words. I'm thankful that our church is united, that we can be a church of one and a church for one. And the church that we're for is for God Himself. And let's sing together and continue to pray that God will use us and direct our path.